Welcome to the Real Estate Guys Radio Show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Do you want more money? Well, do you understand what money really is, and more importantly, what it's not? Today, we'll talk about one of the oldest forms of money on the planet with Jim Rickards, author of the brand new book, The New Case for Gold, today on the Real Estate Guys Radio Program. Memphis, Tennessee is a market that delivers in more ways than one. As home to FedEx, Memphis is one of the largest distribution hubs in the world. That means working class jobs. No wonder Memphis is one of the best cash flow real estate markets in America. And the guy in Memphis who can deliver great affordable cash flow turnkey properties is Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's tips for turnkey rental property investing. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey at realestateguysradio.com. That's turnkey at realestateguysradio.com. Welcome to the Real Estate Guys Radio Program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. Joining me, as usual, co-host, financial strategist, Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
You know, it seems like in the last few weeks, either I or you have lost our voices, and
yeah.
You have a little bit now back. That's good.
I'm a little froggy today, so I apologize in advance, but I'm excited to be here. We got a lot to talk about.
Oh, my goodness, we do. We got a great guest today. I've been looking forward to this show for quite some time. Unbeknownst to any of our summiteers, several weeks back on the Investors Summit at Sea, we did a panel right out of the gate on metals and what's happening in gold and silver and the like, and that was an amazing, amazing panel. We had Brian London come in from Jefferson Companies, a gold silver newsletter, and the promoter of the New Orleans Investment Conference. We had Anthem Blanchard, whose dad is really the reason Americans can own gold these days. We had Robert Kiyosaki. We had David Smith, who writes for the David Morgan Letter, on the panel. And of course, Peter Schiff, who wasn't able to join us for the whole summit, but came down for the couple of days prior because his wife, Lauren, is 8 months pregnant, now nearly 8 and a half. And anyway, amazing panel. And then the big surprise was that Jim Rickards showed up via Skype. It was amazing. We had this incredible panel. Great way to start the summit. But it got us to thinking for sure about just where everything is in the economic news and what's happening and the role that gold and silver and metals might play in that.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've been talking about gold and precious metals for probably the last 2 or 3 years. And I really see it as a leading indicator. It's a way of gauging the strength of the dollar. You know, we wrote that report, the Real Asset Investing Report. It was about how do you invest in the face of a falling dollar? Well, it seemed a little premature because the dollar's actually been quite strong. But sure enough, in the last year, the dollar's been starting to fall off. And year to date, in 2016, the dollar's been down quite a bit. How do I know that? Because gold has been the number one appreciating asset class in terms of dollar denominated assets. And so when you see that, it's not that gold is moving, it's the dollar is moving, and the dollar is moving down. So when we did the panel, I asked everybody in the room, how many of you have dollars in your bank account? Pretty much everybody did. How many of you manage properties and desire for your properties to produce dollars into your bank account? Everybody wanted that. How many of you denominate or measure your wealth in dollars? Pretty much everybody did that. And so the idea that the dollar is important and the health of the dollar is important to you is something that people have to understand. It isn't just this fixed unit of measure. It moves. And because it moves, the question is, how do I know it's moving? How do I know which direction it's moving? Well, gold tells you a lot about what's going on with the dollar.
Well, and it's not just about the dollar, right? With listeners in over 190 countries, whatever your currency is, you're clued into that. You pay attention to, hey, is my money going further? Is it my currency getting me more or less this week, this month, this year? Well, if you compare whatever your currency is to the value of gold, the concept to get your mind around is that gold doesn't change. The utility that gold can create value-wise is the same today as it was 100 years ago, as it will be 100 years from now, that it has for the longest time of anything been money, a medium of exchange, because of the unique aspects of gold and, to other degrees, the other metals. And so we're not metal guys. We're real estate guys. But as real estate guys, we are concerned with the value of a property. It's really interesting to look at the value of, say, single-family home prices as an area as reflected as ounces of gold instead of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it comes down to. There used to be a time in our lifetimes when dollars and gold were interchangeable. They were synonymous. A dollar was a unit of measure of an amount of gold. And so you could tell how much money you had by how much gold you had, by how many dollars you had. It all was the same. But today, money and currency are no longer the same thing. So money is a store of value. Currency is a medium of exchange. They're different. They used to be one and the same. Gold and dollars are different. They used to be one and the same. And so as these ways of looking at wealth and producing wealth and storing wealth change, you have to change the way you think. Some of the investment philosophies or the way you approach the problem are different today. I'll give you an example. A lot of people use assets to produce dollars. So they go, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go buy a house. So I'm going to convert dollars into an asset. I'm going to do something to that house and fix it up. And then I'm going to turn around and sell it and produce dollars. And so my round trip starts with dollars and ends with dollars, meaning that my goal is to accumulate more and more dollars. And that's the way some people approach their investing.
We would call that cash to asset to cash.
Cash to asset to cash. That's the round trip. Other people view dollars as a tool to accumulate assets.
Asset to cash to asset.
That's right. They don't view the cash as the asset. The cash is a tool to get to the asset versus the other way around. And the distinction is huge in terms of how you behave.
You know, spending a week with Robert Kiyosaki recently, you know, he always talks about how cash is trash. And people are like, wait a minute, no, I go to work for cash. I'm getting up and I'm trying to get investment properties for cash. I want cash flow. And one side of his mouth, he says cash flow. On the other side of his mouth, he says cash is trash. And what he means by that is exactly what we're talking about. If you hold a currency that is going down in its value and what it will buy and bring to you, then that's not a winning formula. If instead you use the cash that's created from your business, your job, your real estate to create more assets in your life, that's how you win.
Right. And more assets will produce more cash, which will produce more assets. But it's always about trying to end up with more assets, not more cash. Kenny McElroy, who was also visiting with us on the Summit at Sea, shared one of the frustrations he's having right now. He's in the apartment class. The apartment class has compressed cap rates, which means that investors have bid up the price of apartments. They've been highly desirable. So people have been bidding up the prices of apartments. And so there's a lot of equity. There's a lot of profit sitting there. And the question for Kenny is, do I just continue to sit on that or do I sell high? Well, if I sell high, what do I end up with? A pile of cash.
Right.
Well, a lot of people go, duh, take the money. Well, no, that's not taking the money. So take the cash. And then what do you end up with? A pile of cash. Now, what do you got to do? I got to go try to find some other asset. You see the conundrum? Kenny is concerned, I don't want to sell an asset if all I'm going to end up with is cash, where a lot of people who don't think that way would be happy to sell the asset and end up with cash, thinking somehow they've won. And that's what Kiyosaki is saying. If you think that way, you're going to lose because the powers that be that control the currencies are engaged in what Jim Rickards calls a currency war. And they're all busily printing or devaluing their currencies as quickly as they can. You have to ask yourself, if I'm an investor, why would I want to accumulate something that is being aggressively devalued by the people who control it? It makes no sense.
It makes no sense. And it's hard to get your mind around. When Currency Wars came out, that book really blew my mind, but it's become one of my favorite books and favorite recommended reading. In fact, it's on a recommended reading list, as is Jim Rickards' other book, The Death of Money, which is also a very intriguing title. Jim Rickards is our guest today. He's got a brand new book coming out called The New Case for Gold. We're excited to introduce you or reintroduce you to Jim Rickards today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
The personal development event of the year is right around the corner. If you want to achieve powerful results in 2016, then make plans to attend Success Mastery Academy with the legendary Brian Tracy live and in person. It's three transformational days that will propel your business, career, and finances to the next level. Surrounded by hundreds of successful investors, entrepreneurs, and achievers, this is Robert Helms, and I strongly encourage you to be part of this incredible event. I've been a student of Brian's for many years and have had the great fortune of being part of the original Success Mastery Academy 20 years ago. Now you can join me with Brian Tracy and his special guests Darren Hardy, Vic Johnson, Tom Siegler, Ron White, and many more May 13th through 15th in Dallas. Go to BrianTracyRealEstateGuys.com or send a quick email to SMA@RealEstateGuysRadio.com for all the details. Master the proven principles of success. Go to BrianTracyRealEstateGuys.com or send an email to SMA@RealEstateGuysRadio.com. Don't leave your future to chance. Join Brian Tracy and the Real Estate Guys for Success Mastery Academy.
Hi, this is Patrick from Paradigm Life. I've recently written an ebook called The Perpetual Wealth Strategy. The ebook discusses one of the best investments, real estate, combined with a financial vehicle used by the wealthy, many U.S. presidents, famous actors, athletes, and even Houdini himself. You can download the ebook for free in the resources section on the Real Estate Guys Radio homepage. Don't wait, go download it now.
Hello, this is Robert Kiyosaki. I'm the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And if you're serious about learning how to invest in real estate, listen to the Real Estate Guys. They really know what they're talking about.
And welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, the number one downloaded podcast on real estate investing. Before you're a real estate investor, you're an investor. So we love to talk all things investment. And one of the big brains we love to pick is the man you're about to meet. Welcome back to the Real Estate Guys radio program, bestselling author James Rickards. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Robert. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. It's always a pleasure to get around you and your big ideas. In case folks haven't read your earlier works, of course, Currency War is an absolute must read. Really get your mind around that. And then just a few years ago, The Death of Money. Great books. And we're super excited about a brand new book you have that is just out about gold. I guess the first question is, why a book about gold, Jim?
Well, it's a great question, Robert. You know, I talked about gold in my first book, Currency Wars. It came out in 2011, and I talked about it again at slightly greater length in my second book, The Death of Money, which came out in 2014. But finally, I got to a point, I said, you know, I want to stop sort of just like touching on the subject a little bit around the edges and actually just do a deep dive on gold. And part of the motivation, I just got candidly very tired of hearing all these arguments for not owning gold. There are the same six or seven arguments you hear over and over. You hear it from professors, academics, journalists, news anchors, economists, people you debate at conferences. And it was almost like they had all sort of drunk the same Kool-Aid or memorized the same script, as a better way to put it. I realized that this is really the product of 40 years of combined miseducation, brainwashing, conditioning, whatever, against gold. But there were all these arguments. The minute you said one nice thing about gold or suggested that investors should have it in their portfolio, they would immediately say, you know, well, you know, gold's a barbarous relic because Maynard Keynes said so, or gold has no yield, or there's not enough gold in the world to have a gold standard, or gold supply doesn't grow fast enough to support the growth of world trade and commerce. It was just a set list of arguments. When I examined them and researched them, every single one of them was wrong or obsolete. And I said, well, how can this be the conventional wisdom when it's completely wrong? So I wrote the book for two purposes. One is most of the book is really the case for gold, the new case for gold. Of course, that's the title of the book, The New Case for Gold, explaining reasons why it's important for investors to have some gold in their portfolio. But right at the beginning of the book, in the introduction, I just take down these arguments one by one. I mean, we don't necessarily have time to go through all of them. It is all in the book in detail. But I mean, just to give you one example, people say, you know, there's not enough gold in the world to support world trade and commerce. Well, of course there's enough gold. There's always enough gold. It's just a question of price. Now, take the quantity of official gold in the world at $1,200 an ounce, which is approximately today's price. You know, do that multiplication, and you come up with a number that supports a money supply that is a lot smaller than the actual money supply. So at $1,200 an ounce, you couldn't have a gold standard without highly deflationary actions relative to the money supply.
Right.
But all you have to do is increase the price to $10,000 an ounce or higher, and there's plenty of gold. In other words, it's never about the quantity of gold. It's about the price of gold. Now, that's a separate debate, but when people say there's not enough gold in the world, they don't know what they're talking about because there's always enough gold. It's just a question of price. You know, and people say gold has no yield. Well, you know, reach in your pocket or your purse, pull out a dollar bill, hold it up in front of you. What's the yield? It's zero.
Right.
Money has no yield. Now, investments have yield. You know, if I want to take risk in the stock market or the bond market. Oh, by the way, people think money market funds are money. They're not money. It's one of the great, you know, oxymorons or misnomers in finance that these money market funds. First of all, the SEC just passed a rule that says money market funds can suspend redemptions. So when things get tough, when you really want your money, that's exactly when you're not going to be able to get it. People have this naive belief that they can call their broker, sell their money market fund units, have the money in their bank account the next day. But that's not true any longer because money market funds can suspend redemption. Of course, when will they suspend redemption? They will suspend redemption exactly when you want your money the most, when there's a full-scale financial panic going on. So when you don't want your money, you can get it. When you really need your money, you won't be able to get it. So the reason you get a yield from a money market fund is because you take risks, same with the bank deposits, same with everything other than cash or gold or Bitcoin, for that matter. I don't recommend Bitcoin, but Bitcoin's a form of money, and it also has no yield. You don't get a yield on Bitcoin, but that's because it's money. So when you say it has no yield, I just kind of shrug and say, well, of course it doesn't. It's money. It's like saying a yardstick doesn't pay dividends. Of course not. It's a way of measuring things. And so, again, one by one, these arguments fall down. We knock them all down in the book. I hope readers enjoy that part. Then we kind of go on to make the new case for gold.
Well, it's interesting because you're right. There's so many folks that get, I don't know what, they get energized by the fact that they need to make you wrong about gold. Why do you think that animosity exists?
It's 40 years of miseducation. You know, it's been that long, actually a little longer than that, more like 45 years at this point, that the U.S. has been off gold. Now, think about it. Let's say you're a PhD professor, or you're a central banker, or you're the Secretary of the Treasury, or any one of the global monetary elite. When I say global monetary elite, I'm not hypothesizing some deep, dark conspiracy. I mean, we actually know who all these people are. It's Christine Lagarde, Mario Draghi, and Janet Yellen, and Marty Feldstein, and Paul Krugman. We know who they are. They all hang out in Davos and Jackson Hole, and you know they write their books and op-eds. I'm actually enough of a geek that I read them all and follow them all very closely. But my point is, they're in charge of the monetary system. They're on the board of governors of the Fed. They're the head of the ECB, et cetera. If you had that much power, why would you want to give up the power? You want people to believe that paper money is the only way to go because you're in charge of the paper money. They have no interest in educating people about gold. They would rather miseducate people about gold and allow less knowledgeable, you know, journalists and bloggers and others to kind of repeat these canards, repeat these false myths about gold. And everyday Americans have more or less been brainwashed or conditioned to believe that gold has no place in the monetary system. So you hear it over and over, but none of it stands up to examination. When you actually take their arguments at face value, look at the facts and look at the data, if you understand analysis and how the monetary system actually works, what you discover is that those arguments don't hold water. And in fact, the arguments in favor of having gold are very, very powerful and compelling.
Well, what I love about the book is that you don't come out sounding like one of these gold bugs. Not to use that as a negatory term, but people think, oh, well, people are just into gold, they're into gold. Instead, it's a very balanced argument. Certainly dispelling these myths is important. But the other side is the fact that gold has been money forever.
Right. And that is true. That's absolutely true. And it has been money for a reason. I talk about that in chapter two of the book, the new case for gold. But you know, the PhDs would say, well, okay, so we used to drive horses and buggies and we don't anymore. And, we used to have sailing ships and now we have steamships. And so things change. And the fact that gold used to be money doesn't mean it needs to be money today. But that argument also doesn't hold water. Gold was money and still is money, in my view, for very good reasons that are still true. But what I do in the book is I actually try to advance that argument and give some new reasons. That's why it's called the new case for gold. By the way, Robert, I don't know if you know, but the title is a bit of a tribute to a book that came out in 1980 called The Case for Gold. And those who have been investing in gold or owning gold for a long period of time remember that book, because what happened was, you know, Nixon suspended redemption of dollars for gold in 1971.
Right.
Then it was a couple years later in 74, when the IMF officially demonetized gold. And Ronald Reagan was running for president in 1980. It wasn't that long after it. It was only 6 or 7 years after the gold standard ended that Reagan was running for president. There was a lot of sentiment to go back to a gold standard. So what Reagan did, rather than make that his platform, he appointed a bipartisan commission to study the issue. It had prominent Americans, Republicans, and Democrats. The commission came back and made a recommendation that we not go on the gold standard. But there was an important minority on the commission, including Ron Paul, Lou Lehrman, and others, and they were allowed to file what's called a minority report. They didn't win the day, but they were able to put their reasoning in writing. Well, this was a public record because it was a public commission, and some enterprising publisher took the public record, which anyone could use, and published it in book form called The Case for Gold. And it's sort of a cult classic among gold aficionados. So my book is The New Case for Gold, obviously a tribute to that title. But so you say, well, what's new about it? We go through all the existing arguments, but there are new 21st century reasons for having gold. First and foremost, cyber financial warfare and cyber hacking. Vladimir Putin has a 6,000-member cyber brigade operating on the outskirts of Moscow, worked night and day to be able to hack, disrupt, destroy, and delete all digital financial records. And, you know, I run into billionaires in places like Greenwich, Connecticut, and New York, and some of them are friends of mine, and they ask them what they own, and they go, oh, I've got all this wealth. I've got stocks and bonds and, you know, this and that. And I say, really, actually, what you have are electrons. Those are all represented in digital form. Maybe you get a paper statement from your broker once a month, but you have electrons, and our friend Vladimir Putin and others, not just him, but Iran, China, and others, can wipe it out in a heartbeat. Good luck restoring it. And then they kind of turn white and look at you funny, and when they realize that's true. And by the way, when I say things like that, people say, well, that would never happen, or you're talking about science fiction. No, it is happening. Just the other day, Bangladesh, which is one of the poorest countries in the world, had $100 million erased. They just lost $100 million. And that money was on deposit at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. It wasn't like it was on deposit in Bangladesh or India or some fly-by-night operation. I mean, what could possibly be safer than depositing your money at the Fed? They deposit their money at the Fed because they're a country. They have a reserve position. They could do so. And the $100 million disappeared. So don't tell me it can't happen. It happens all the time, and it can happen to you. Now, going back to your earlier point, Robert, about, you know, the so-called gold bugs, I don't think I'm an extremist. I don't recommend selling everything and buying 100% gold. I think I would never go 100% in anything. I recommend about 10% gold. That's enough to protect you and preserve wealth in extreme circumstances. But if Bangladesh had had that $100 million in gold, they'd still have the $100 million today. It wouldn't have disappeared. So if you're all in on the digital system, you're completely vulnerable to these kinds of attacks I'm describing, which happen all the time, by the way. And you know, your wealth could literally disappear. That's an argument that was not taking place in the 70s, 80s, and 90s because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the extent of digitization of wealth. We didn't have the hacking and the vulnerabilities. We didn't have financial warfare. We have all of that today. So this is, you know, a 21st century reason for owning gold. And again, that's part of where the title comes from, The New Case for Gold.
Now, Jim, that makes sense, but it also brings up another point, which you cover in the book, which is there are different ways that people own gold, and they're not all the same. Can you speak to that?
Sure. There's only one way to own gold, which is physical bullion in your possession or in safe non-bank storage. So as far as I'm concerned, that's how you own gold. Now, there are all kinds of paper representations of gold. You call it paper gold, but the word paper kind of gives it away. These are, you know, ETFs, exchange-traded funds, where you buy a share on the New York Stock Exchange, and then the fund administrator goes out and takes your money and buys some gold and puts it in the vault in London. But you don't own the gold. You own the share. And if you want, you have price exposure, but if you want to realize the price exposure, you have to go sell the share. Well, what if the New York Stock Exchange is closed? People go, well, that would never happen. Well, guess what? It happens all the time. First of all, it happens every weekend. But it also happened in Hurricane Sandy. It happened after 9/11. How many people know the New York Stock Exchange was closed for 5 months at one time, from July to November 1914? The New York Stock Exchange was completely closed. And I also mentioned the digital hacking. In 2010, the FBI and Department of Homeland Security found a Russian attack virus inside the NASDAQ operating system. That was reported by Bloomberg Magazine in July 2014. So these things are all documented. They're out there. And by the way, that virus, that was not some criminal gang trying to steal your credit card number. Those are Russian military intelligence assets planting that virus. I say, you know, nice job, FBI, finding it. They disabled it. But how many did they not find? How many are still lurking there, not disabled, ready to wipe out your digital wealth in a heartbeat? So the ETF-type gold is vulnerable to exchange closures and hacking, the kind of things I described. There's another kind of paper gold, which is the COMEX future. So I can buy COMEX gold futures. Well, how much physical gold does the COMEX warehouse have relative to the amount of long gold futures holders? So I buy a futures contract. That means I am long gold on the COMEX. What would happen if all of those, or even a significant portion of those people who held long futures positions, put in notice to the exchange that they would like to receive physical gold? So
something tells me it's not all there, Jim.
Well, it's not even close. It's maybe somewhere between 1% and 5%, depending on the day. The point is, and the exchange knows that. By the way, again, to raise a hand and admit my geekdom, I've read all these exchange rule books. I was general counsel of an investment bank that was a member of a lot of commodities exchanges, and I passed all the commodities futures examinations, and I've read these rule books, and inside the rule books you'll discover that they say point blank, we are not a source of supply. They allow limited physical delivery just to keep the arbitrage honest so that it's a way to hold the short's feet to the fire, but they say they're not a source of supply. We have no obligation to supply all the longs with physical delivery. Don't expect it. If we get too many requests, we'll just order that you can trade for liquidation only. Trading for liquidation only means that you can close out your contract for a paper delivery, or you can roll it over to a future month, but you cannot get the physical gold. They also have emergency powers in disorderly markets to change the rules. And people go, oh, you changed the rules. Well, guess what? They have a rule that says they can change the rules. So they're not even changing the rules because there's a rule that says they can do that. So they have all the tools they need. You know, the governors, the boards of governors, these exchanges have all the tools they need to prevent that sort of thing. But what it means for you is that you don't get the gold. And finally, there are these unallocated gold futures contracts sold by the big London Bullion Market Association banks. So I call up J.P. Morgan London and say, I want to buy $1 million worth of gold. They say, fine. They say, send me a contract. Sign the contract. Send us $1 million. So let's say I do that. And they say, okay, here's your confirmation. You own $1 million worth of gold. But you have to read the fine print. What it says is that my gold is what's called unallocated, which is a nice euphemism for no gold.
Right.
There's no gold bar with my name on it. There's no serial number that says, okay, this is Jim Rickard's gold bar. He owns bar number, 12345. What they do is they have one bar of gold, and they sell 100 bars of gold on an unallocated basis, and they hope like heck that the 100 owners don't all show up on their doorstep demanding the gold. If you do, guess what's going to happen? Maybe the first guy will get the bar of gold, but the other 99 are out of luck, and they're going to get their contracts terminated, and there are provisions for that, early termination clauses in the agreements. They're going to get their contracts terminated. They'll get a check. They won't steal your money. But you'll get a check for the close of business price yesterday. They'll say, okay, you're terminated as of yesterday. Here's the close of business price. Here's your check. Meanwhile, today, price of gold is up $200 an ounce. Tomorrow, another $200 an ounce. The price of gold is going up thousands of dollars an ounce in leaps and bounds. It's exactly why you bought the gold in the first place, to protect yourself. But what you'll discover the hard way is that when the protection is most needed is exactly when you don't have it, because they've closed you out and sent you a check. So all these paper forms of gold are vulnerable to shutdowns, hacking, erasures, early terminations, change of rules. None of them will give you the price exposure and the protection you want when it's most needed. It's funny. They protect you when you don't need it, and they don't protect you when you do need it, because the game is rigged in their favor. So if you want to protect yourself, I always say to people, don't wait for central banks to go on a gold standard. You can go on a personal gold standard today by allocating, I recommend, 10% of your investable assets to physical gold. Do not put it in the banks, because that will be the first place the government looks if they want to go freeze it. But put it in non-bank storage. And there are very reputable vaults out there. I'm not in the business of recommending vaults, but there are certainly well-established names like Brinks and Dunbar and Loomis and others, and some less well-known who are very reputable, been in business a long time, have insurance, and you can get references and all that. Check them out and keep your gold there.
Our guest today is James Rickards. He's the author of the brand new book, The New Case for Gold. When we come back, you're going to get a chance to win a copy of the book autographed by Jim. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Are you ready to profit in paradise? Hi, it's Robert Helms. And if you think real estate investing means tenants, toilets, and termites, think again. Located just a short plane ride from the U.S., a virtually untouched paradise awaits. The beautiful country of Belize. When you go to Belize with the Real Estate Guys, you'll spend four fabulous days discovering one of the most intriguing real estate markets I've ever seen. With its jungle rainforest, pristine beaches, and 81-degree turquoise water, Belize is one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Plus, it's considered one of the top seven tax havens in the world. Belize property is on the rise, and many experts think the best is yet to come. But don't just take my word for it. Come experience Belize firsthand at our upcoming investor field trip. When you join us, you'll discover the many reasons we love Belize, like tremendously undervalued beachfront land, super low taxes, ease of doing business, and so much more. Get the details at realestateguysradio.com. Just click on events. See paradise for yourself. Click events at realestateguysradio.com, and I'll see you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Anthony Melchior from Hotel Impossible, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show, no matter how you're listening. We appreciate it. Hey, if you've ever thought about doing bigger deals using other people's money, it's time for you to come out to the Secrets of Successful Syndication. It takes place the first weekend in June in Dallas, Texas. You can get all the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com. You'll meet lots of great folks and learn a ton at the Secrets of Successful Syndication. Our guest today is Jim Rickards. We're talking about his brand new book, The New Case for Gold, and it's your chance to win a copy today on Real Estate Trivia. In just a minute, I'm going to ask you a trivia question, which, as you can probably figure, has something to do with both real estate and gold. As soon as you know what the answer is or want to take a guess, send us your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and your mailing address, and you need to use your real name and your real mailing address, because Jim is going to autograph the book for you if you're the winner. Before we give you today's real estate trivia question, last week on the show we had amazing marketer Kyle Wilson, and we asked this: where was Zig Ziglar born? Well, Zig was born in Coffee County, Alabama, on November 6th, 1926. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. We're talking about gold. See if you can figure this out. What town sits on top of the world's largest gold deposit? Yep, what town anywhere in the world sits on top of the largest gold deposit? If you think you know, or maybe you do know, then quickly get us an email to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name and your mailing address. The first person with the right answer gets an autographed copy of Jim's brand new book, The New Case for Gold. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're with the author of that book, The New Case for Gold, Mr. Jim Rickards. And always great to talk to you, Jim. You know, in the book, you talk about the fact that gold is not an investment. And you talked earlier about the fact that there's no risk to it. But if it's not an investment, then where does it belong in people's portfolio? How should people think about gold?
Well, it belongs in your portfolio because it's a form of money. I say to people, if you want money or you like money, then have some gold. When I say it's not an investment, all I mean, look, obviously I'm saying it should be in an investment portfolio, and you can think of it as an investment, but gold is not really an investment because it has no risk. You know, if you buy an ounce of gold and put it in a safe place and come back a year later, what do you have? You have an ounce of gold. You know, one of the criticisms of gold by people like Warren Buffett, most prominently, is that gold has no yield. And as we said before, well, it's not supposed to have a yield. It's money.
Right.
Dollar bill doesn't have a yield. If you want yield, you have to take risk. If you take risk, you could lose money. Whereas with gold, you're not going to gain or lose money, but you are going to preserve wealth. And people say, well, gee, what do you mean no risk? What if the price of gold goes from $1,200 an ounce to $1,000 an ounce? Haven't I lost 20%? Well, no, you have the same amount of gold. What happened in that scenario is that the value of the dollar went up. In other words, you're privileging the dollar. And when you talk about the dollar price of gold and you see it fluctuate and be volatile, which it is, and that's not a gold problem. That's a dollar problem. A weak
right.
dollar is a higher dollar price for gold. A strong dollar means a lower dollar price for gold. So when you see the dollar price for gold go up and down, nothing's really happening to the gold. What's happening is that the dollar is getting stronger and weaker. So what's your long-term view of the dollar? Do you think the dollar is going to get a lot stronger? Well, then gold would be unattractive to you. If you think the dollar is going to get a lot weaker over time, which it has continuously since 1913, then you should definitely have some gold. So your view of gold, for a dollar-based investor, your view of gold should be the inverse of your view on the dollar. If you have the utmost confidence in the value of the dollar, then you don't need that much gold. But if you think the dollar is vulnerable to a loss of confidence or inflation, or it'll just get weaker relative to commodities in general, then you would definitely want some gold. Well, the entire history of the 20th and so far in the 21st century is that the value of the dollar keeps getting weaker with $19 trillion in debt. There's no way that the United States can sustain that debt through any feasible combination of economic growth, taxes, and productivity. But you can sustain the debt if you inflate the value of it. In other words, instead of paying $19 trillion nominally, but in real terms it'll be maybe half because you've had 2-3% inflation for 20 years. That's enough to cut the value of the dollar in half. Well, you're defenseless against that unless you have some gold, which will maintain its real value.
Well, and it's such a good point that with gold, it's one of the very few assets that has no real counterparty risk. There's not somebody else involved other than maybe a third-party storage venue. And as you mentioned, you want to look for reputable folks if you're doing it that way. Certainly a case for having some physical gold. Let's talk for just a minute about the other precious metals, if you will, silver and maybe other metals. Is there a difference there in your mind?
Well, somewhat, not completely. Look, I think platinum, palladium, and silver are all precious metals. I mean, they are, and I talk about them in the book in Chapter 2. I distinguish gold a little bit. First of all, it's interesting that platinum, palladium, and silver are all kind of silvery or gray. Gold is the only one that's gold. That by itself is not an argument for or against its role as money. It's just kind of an interesting point, but there are practical reasons why silver, platinum, and palladium have not been used as money by and large. Silver, yes. The other two, no. I mean, platinum and palladium are actually more scarce than gold. You want your money to be scarce. You don't want it to roll off a printing press. But if it's too scarce, then again, it's not elastic and it doesn't really serve the purpose. So that's the problem with platinum and palladium. The problem with silver is that, silver is a monetary metal, and I recommend people have monster boxes, by the way. Robert, I don't know if you know you probably do know what a monster box is. It's
the 500 coins.
500 one-ounce silver coins. At current prices, it would run, with commission, probably around $8,000-$9,000. You have to talk to your dealer. But, people say, well, gee, what if there's a real collapse of the infrastructure, for either in a natural disaster, social unrest, or the kind of cyber warfare that we've been talking about, where, the power grid goes down and the internet goes down and we have to sort of get to know our neighbors again and go down to the corner local farm market and buy food and groceries for our families. People say, well, gee, if I have an ounce of gold, that's too much. That's like a year's worth of groceries. I only want a week's worth of groceries. And people picture themselves, with a little file or chisel, knocking off a little, scraping a little gold off the edge, which is kind of a messy
right.
process. But that's where silver comes in. I mean, 1 ounce of silver, 1 ounce of gold might be a year's groceries, but 1 ounce of silver might be a week's groceries. That's exactly the unit of account. So, yes, I do recommend 10% gold in portfolios, but I also recommend, one or two monster boxes, say 500 to 1,000 one-ounce silver coins. That will be money good. That will get your family some groceries and, get your other necessities until, the civil authorities get the system patch it back together and get the system back in place again. So that will be extremely valuable. But the problem with silver from an analytic or theoretic point of view is that it does have significant industrial uses. So gold is pure money. Gold is actually not good for very much except money. It's the best form of money, but it's not good for much else. People say, well, gold's good for jewelry, but jewelry is just wearable wealth. Talk to any Indian bride adorned with pounds and pounds of gold necklaces. Yeah, it's nice looking, but they'll tell you that that's the inheritance. That's the family wealth. That's going to put their kids through college. And so you can call it jewelry, but it's really just wearable wealth. So whether it's bullion coins or jewelry, it's all wealth. Gold's not good for much else. Silver, on the other hand, does have a lot of industrial applications. So the dollar price of silver is partly a function of its monetary role, but also partly a function of the business cycle. And that's why it's not a pure play and a little bit more difficult to analyze. So I'm not a silver basher. I'm not anti-silver. And as I say, I recommend that people have one or two monster boxes. But gold, to me, is the purest form of money and has the best, you know, theoretical standing as money.
Again, what I love about it is the well-rounded approach, right? There's reasons to hold gold to preserve wealth, and then the practical aspect of what happens if, and you got to be thinking about that, your entire portfolio. You know, in The Death of Money, near the end, you talk about kind of the five classes or the five areas to consider owning. And of course, we love the fact that you talk about land and real estate there, because we're big proponents of that. But it gets to the core of understanding why you're investing. And I think really you have made the new case for gold in the book. And so there's some great stuff in here. I'll tell you, when we did the book study with Robert Kiyosaki on chapter two, we had so much fun with the whole, I don't want to give it away because it's a reason people want to read the book, but your argument about the elements and how it comes down to gold was just, we had so much fun with that. So you're going to want to get a copy of this book. It's called The New Case for Gold, and we'll tell you how you can get it here shortly, and how Jim's going to give you a free chapter before we're done. Hey, Jim Rickards, always great to have you on the program. We sure appreciate it, you today.
Robert, thank you very much. Great to be with you.
You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. More when we come back. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
Stop for a moment. Why are you listening to this show? Are you dreaming of a bigger, brighter financial future? More personal freedom to live life on your own terms? What if there was just one skill that could make it happen? There is. Sales. Robert Kiyosaki says every entrepreneur must be good at sales. It's true for investors too. Sales is how you attract money, people, and opportunities. Sales is the skill used to negotiate deals and lead your team. Sales skills are essential to success. The good news is, it's a learnable skill. The great news is, we've created a 2-day interactive workshop to teach those skills to you. Make plans today to attend How to Win Funds and Influence People, Mastering the Art of Financial Selling. For dates and details, send an email to sales@realestateguysradio.com or visit realestateguysradio.com and look under events. Gain the skills you need to succeed. Email sales@realestateguysradio.com or look under the events tab at realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Forbes. You're listening to The Real Estate Guys. Listen up.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. However you listen, whether it's podcast or radio or who knows, a friend maybe just repeats what we say in your ear. It's all good. But I'll tell you what, amazing to get in a conversation with Jim Rickards.
It is. He's such a brainiac. I mean, gosh, I just love reading his stuff. I love listening to him talk. I like the eclectic mix of academia, real world experience, science, law, finance, and his background in terms of all of the different things he's been involved in. He really, in many ways, is uniquely qualified to offer perspective on these things because he sees it, as Robert Kiyosaki would say, from all angles. He sees both sides of the coin, and he isn't really married to a philosophy. He goes where the analysis leads him, and I really appreciate that about Jim.
You know, having a chance to spend some time with him a couple times now, it's great just to see how his mind works and how quick it works. I mean, it's hard to stump the guy, right? And he's, of course, on this tour doing all kinds of radio shows and just a lot going on in his world as he's been promoting this book. When we were getting ready to do the summit, there was a chance he was going to come down and join us in person for the day, and he just couldn't pull it off with his schedule, but he did surprise everybody by Skyping in for the hour of the panel, and that was great, great, great stuff. So to hear this new case for gold, which, you know, we spent some time, in fact, Mr. Kiyosaki, one of the things he did on the summit this year was an article study, and what we studied was chapter two of this book.
Yeah, exactly. And just going through a book study with Robert Kiyosaki is really a powerful experience. In fact, the surveys that we get at the end of the summit said it was one of the most profound experiences for a lot of our summiteers. Because so often we choose to interject in our own thoughts, our own opinion, our own prejudices. We like the sound of our own voices. We like to be reinforced in what we believe. The problem with that is you're not learning.
Right.
You're not seeing new angles. You're not seeing new things. And to have a mind that's disciplined enough to listen to what someone else is saying and to look at what the data is saying. And again, that's why I appreciate Jim, because I think he's one of those kind of guys. And Robert, of course, has taught us how to discipline our minds to go in and read somebody's work. You know, you and I wrote a book together. We thought it would be easy. We thought we'd bang it out in a weekend, you know, long weekend and long days, because we're workhorses, right? I mean, it is so challenging to take your deepest thoughts and your most profound understandings and distill them down into something that is concise and digestible, and to bring somebody through a logic path where they maybe don't have any familiarity with the subject matter, and then work them up to where you can take them to a deep understanding of a complex topic. And when he talks about complexity theory and some of these, you know, mathematical equations that have to do with the probabilities of currency collapse and things like that, it's just, it's mind blowing. But Jim does a really, really good job at taking these things and making them digestible to the layperson. And I think that's really providing a great service right now for the investment community. And we're really happy to be able to share him with our audience. Encourage you to pick up a copy of The New Case for Gold and dive into it. But don't let your prejudices get in the way of what you're reading. Just read it and try to understand what Jim Rickards is saying. I promise you, you'll learn something.
Well, what's great is that Jim is not a gold guy. There's a lot of gold bugs out there, right? They're all about that. And I know we listen to those people and sometimes get around them at cocktail parties at these events we do, and they have a perspective, and not saying it's right or wrong, just saying it's perspective. Jim has a much bigger perspective, I would say, which is why it's great to have him come out with a book like this. It'll be interesting to see how the market receives a book on gold right now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of power bases that have a vested interest in seeing gold discredited. And when someone comes out with a compelling argument in favor of something you're against, and you've got a mouthpiece, you've got a microphone, you've got a platform, you've got a position, it's going to be interesting to see the chatter that surrounds it. It's hard to deny gold right now. You know, you've got record metal sales, both silver and gold, in the United States year over year, up over 15% this year over last year, and last year was a record-setting year. You've got China and Russia and Germany either accumulating or trying to repatriate gold. You've got a real war going on, if you will, in international politics for who is going to emerge as the dominant currency. And there's a lot of people working against the dollar. So as a real estate investor out there, you know, especially an American, and we know the show is heard throughout the world, but Americans tend to really only look at the world through the dollar lens. They tend to look at things only through the American lens. And I really believe right now at this time in history, that's a mistake. That's a very dangerous position to be in, which is why over the last several years, we put so much emphasis on surrounding ourselves with guys like Simon Black and people that have an international perspective, people that have a bigger historical perspective than what's gone on in the last decade, but what's gone on in the last century or two or three, what goes on in the history of nations, and what role does gold play in that? Because it all affects geopolitics, it affects property rights, it affects economies, job creation, the things that we count on as real estate investors, the availability of debt. Is it, you know, if you've got a falling currency, it can be a good idea to get into debt because you get to pay back with a cheaper currency. If you get it wrong, debt could be your worst enemy because you ended up having to pay back with more expensive dollars. So these are not just esoteric, interesting conversations we have because they're fun to talk about, but they're really strategic in terms of your investing, especially real estate, because paper traders jump in and out of asset classes. They jump in and out of whatever they do. They can, you know, hot money, Momo around all they want, right? But real estate investors, you're talking 30-year mortgages. You're talking about being in deals where you've got, you know, maybe an 8% load to get out. If you get it wrong, you know, you're going to have to ride that thing out for could be a decade or longer, you know? So that's why we talk about markets and financial strategies that can endure the ups and downs. The good news is with real estate, you don't have to worry that much about the ups and downs if you get the overall trend right. But these things definitely matter in terms of understanding what is the overall trend and how does it affect me? And we're going to continue to develop these perspectives on the show as we move along, because this is very interesting times we live in right now. And Jim Rickards is a guy that we're going to be paying attention to.
Well, we would definitely recommend you go and get a copy of the book to whet your appetite. We are happy to make available to you, courtesy of Mr. Rickards, Chapter 2 of The New Case for Gold. All you have to do if you want a copy of that PDF right to your email is send us an email to gold@realestateguysradio.com, gold@realestateguysradio.com. You'll receive a PDF of Chapter 2 of this amazing book and also an offer to get the rest of the book, which you're going to want to read for sure. Hey, big thanks to James Rickards for his incredible insight, to going to all the trouble and effort to write this book and then sharing his ideas with us today. Hey, coming up into this month, April, we've got an amazing sales workshop. Now, the Real Estate Guys haven't been teaching sales up front and center, but we've recognized that when people come out to the secrets of successful syndication, that one of the things they leave with is an appetite to learn how to raise capital. And this workshop is really designed to help you do that.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I've been in sales for my entire career, and I learned a lot about what it's like to be sitting with someone and talk about an intangible, right? When you're talking to somebody about an investment, you know, I've been in the insurance business, I've been in the securities business, I've been in the mortgage business. And when I'm sitting down doing these financial consultations, there's no shiny object. There's no pretty test drive you get to take to fall in love with whatever's being discussed. You have to have the ability to talk about what somebody's really trying to accomplish and uncover those needs, and then help them understand how what you have to offer helps them achieve those needs. And this is the core skill set that anybody who's out there offering any type of investment product, including a real estate syndication, trying to pitch people on investing in your deal, you can show them the property. But really what they're interested in is the financial performance and matching up your financial projections to their financial goals. And if you do that properly, more often than not, you're going to be able to raise the money. If you get it wrong, you're just going to be pounding your head against the wall and wonder why you can't get anything funded. So this is a key event for those of you that are interested in building your real estate empire by taking on private investors.
As well as anyone who's in sales of any kind. If you're in real estate or mortgage sales, this will be a great event. It happens April 29th and 30th in beautiful Dallas, Texas. All the details on our website at realestateguysradio.com under events. It's called How to Win Funds and Influence People. And while you're there, make sure you click the button that says Ask the Guys. In a few weeks, it's an Ask the Guys show. Your questions are answers, and we need new questions. So just get to the website at realestateguysradio.com, click Ask the Guys. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.